Namaste and welcome all to yet another session of Easy Ayurveda Gurukula. So today will be the 51st episode, and here we have Dr. Rajinikanth Patel joining us. Dr. Rajinikanth is not new to us. He has kept presenting different topics of interest on this particular platform, and also in Guru Bodha he is well known to us. So that's why I'll introduce him as briefly as possible. So before that, cordial welcome to all of our participants, wonderful participants who keep coming here time and again into our sessions and make these sessions interesting and meaningful and more learning sessions. So hearty welcome to all our participants. So on behalf of all of us and Team Easy Ayurveda, may I extend a cordial welcome to Dr. Rajinikanth Patel. So namaste, Dr. Rajinikanth, and welcome to the session. And in this session also we have Dr. Ashlesha Rawat Madam, so from Ananda Ayurveda. So I also cordially welcome Dr. Ashlesha Rawat Madam on behalf of all of us and all the participants as well. Namaste. And Dr. Rajinikanth, coming to Dr. Rajinikanth, Rajinikanth Patel sir, so he's Chief Ayurveda Consultant at Agnivesh Ayurveda Hospital, Surat, Gujarat, a well-furnished hospital with all Panchakarma facilities. We know that Dr. Rajinikanth has been taking and also teaching and preaching how to handle very difficult and complicated, the regular cases handle. So he is well-known for dealing complicated cases with simple, effective Shastra present his topic. Dr. Rajinikanth, over to you.
Yes. Okay, so first of all, I would like to again thanks Dr. Raghuram sir, Dr. Epar sir, and all the team of Easy Ayurveda to invite me for the talk on the multiple sclerosis. So without wasting time, we will directly move on to the subject, Ayurveda and multiple sclerosis. So here in the beginning, this first slide photo, you can see the neuron. Neuron is the basic and this base, this thing, basic cell, or the basic unit of the whole nervous system. If the neuron's health is completely okay, then only all the nervous system task is going to perform. If there is something wrong in the neuron's signaling, transmission of the signal, then there will be this neurodegenerative disorder or all the disorder like Parkinson, Alzheimer, everything. So we'll be discussing about the how the quality and quantity of neurons is very much crucial to maintain the this neuromotor skills. So thousands of years of human observation and trial and error are always far more better than the 6 months of experiments in the lab. So we must respect our Sangeeta and Shastra. So we'll be just discussing, we'll be just seeing as a bird's eye view. We'll not go to in detail, but I have covered the all the aspects which can be clear for everyone about multiple sclerosis in 1 hour. So multiple sclerosis is a complex autoimmune disease which affects the central nervous system, particularly the brain and spinal cord. So here you must, it must keep in mind that the lesion of the this MS will be there in the brain and spinal cord only in majority of the cases, not the peripheral nerve. So this is the main important point. The name itself suggests that it is a multiple sclerosis. So sclerosis is there, but it is more than one or two in the number. So sclerosis means dead tissue, scar formation, and it is multiple. It is more in numbers. So the scar tissue or damaged tissue is there more than a two or three in number in the brain and spinal cord. So it is called multiple sclerosis because there are multiple sclerotic area which will be seen in the MRI of MS patient. So it is a complex disease, not a single single disease. You can imagine the severity of disease that in UK, United Kingdom Multiple Sclerosis Society, if a patient is diagnosed with MS, they have to take their financial decision, economical decision, and family decision also. So such a progressive disease it is. So and one more, it is caused due to autoimmune response generated in the nervous system. So what happens when a person has a multiple sclerosis in his or her body? So the, we all know that neurons has a myelin sheath, and the immune system attacks the protective sheath of the neurons, that is called myelin sheath, which covers the nerve fiber. and it helps in conducting the signal through one neuron to another neuron. So once the myelin sheath is getting damaged, there will be a problem in communication between the two neurons. So the signal traveling from and to the body and from to the brain, it will be disturbed. So it is very simple definition what happens in multiple sclerosis. So neuron is a basic cell of nervous system. In the neuron, the nerve fiber is covered with a protective sheath, and which is called a myelin sheath. So the body's own cell will be attacking the myelin sheath and damaging the myelin sheath. Now this damage, there will be no coordination in passing neuroelectrical signal from one neuron to another neuron. So here you can see this myelin sheath of a neuron, which will be damaged in the multiple sclerosis. So cause and pathophysiology, if we read the clinical medicine book of modern science, they straight away say it is unknown cause, but now they are starting saying that it is due to autoimmune mechanism which is generated in the nervous system. So in the multiple sclerosis, the immune system mistakenly target the protective myelin sheath surrounding the nerve fiber that already we saw in the previous slide. Now due to this, the myelin sheath will be getting damaged. So this immune attack leads to the inflammation and damage to the myelin, disrupting the nerve signal transmission. This is the main area, or we can say this is the khavigunita, or we can say last stage of some in the myelin sheath. Disease is getting formed here, and due to the khavigunita in the myelin sheath in the neuron, autoimmune response getting generated here. Now the damage area results in the various neurological symptoms. As the myelin sheath is damaged, neurons will not be able to pass the neuroelectrical signal from one neuron to another neuron. So this is all the story about multiple sclerosis, what happens in it and what is the cause. Now in majority of the disease, there is a specific group of signs and symptoms to diagnose it. But contradictory to that theory or that principle of modern science, there is no single group of signs or symptoms, and which is entirely diagnostic for MS. So there is no specific set or group of signs and symptoms that we can use to diagnose the MS. Despite all these things, this can be recognized in the clinical ground by an experienced neurophysician. So there is a two main pattern. One is relapsing and remitting MS, and second is primary progressive MS. So relapsing and remitting MS. So relapsing and remitting MS means the person will be having no clinical issue, but suddenly in one night or within 24 hours, patient will lose their vision instantly within one night or 24 hours. So that is a relapsing MS, and it will be the vision will be totally recovered in majority of the cases with the help of corticosteroid. And corticosteroid helps in the reduction of the inflammation locally in the neurons. So that is relapsing and remitting pattern of multiple sclerosis. This will be the majority of the patient will be having relapsing and remitting MS. And second types of this MS is primary progressive. So in this, there is no relapsing and remitting MS, but it will be daily progressing. So gradually the symptoms will be progressing, and ultimately patient will be bedridden. He need a person's support for his day-to-day routine activity. So two main pattern, relapsing and remitting. In this, patient will be totally asymptomatic. There is no problem in his body, but suddenly majority of the MS patient will get vision loss in one night or one day, which can be restored within 4 to 5 days. Again, it will start like this, continues like this happening, means patient will end up with permanent vision loss. This is the majority of the patient will be having this kind of pattern. And the second one is primary progressive MS. So 20% of the total MS case is the primary progressive MS. So the main diagnostic the tool for this MS is, we can say that it is a MRI rather than the clinical this thing. So MRI of brain and spinal cord is the first line of investigation, and multiple plaques are visible principally in the periventricular region or in the spinal cord. So there are many patients in which patient will be 100% asymptomatic. There won't be any neuromotor impairment in the function, But if, when MRI is done, they will show multiple sclerosis or the multiple plaque in their gray white matter and in the spinal cord. So MRI is the first line of investigation to see the progress of disease or to see the new lesion is getting formed every year or every 2 years. We compulsory have to be dependent on the MRI results, because based on the MRI results only we can help the patient to have the best quality of their life. And this is important, there is no method of predicting the course of MS. We cannot say that this patient will be having this kind of life after 1 or 2 years of suffering from MS. It is totally unpredicted course. We cannot predict the future of MS patient, like how many years they will be surviving, after how many years, what kind of symptoms they may have. So it is, we cannot predict the course of the MS, on which course or which frequency it will generate the symptoms. We don't have a course for it, but now they say it is autoimmune disease. As well, they don't have medicine also for this multiple sclerosis, as it is autoimmune disease. So corticosteroid, they used in the relapsing condition or the relapsing pattern of the MS to reduce the severity of MS. So here important to keep in mind that this is not a treatment and it will not influence the long-term outcome. So it is not like that if corticosteroid is used in the relapsing pattern of MS, patient will be still become disabled or patient will have the MS behaving normally to the all the patient. So it is not like that if patient is taking corticosteroid for 15 to 20 days in relapsing pattern, so they will have a good future. No. It is helping in temporary to reduce the anti-inflammation. It will work as anti-inflammatory for temporary period. As I told, eye vision loss in corticosteroid within 5 to 7 days, patient will regain his complete vision. But it does not help in the future outcome. So now we will discussing about the what we can see in Ayurveda when we think about multiple sclerosis. So in modern science, we know what is MS, what is the main pathology, where it is happening. It is the myelin sheath of neuron, which is getting damaged by our body itself. Myelin sheath is health, quality and quantity of myelin sheath is very much essential to pass the neuroelectrical signal from one neuron to another neuron or to have a strong network of neuron together. In MS, it won't be there because there is a myelin sheath damage. There is no treatment for it. For depending, we have to depend on the MRI scan. So now we will see the multiple sclerosis, how we can find in Ayurveda or what reference and what kind of treatment we can adopt so that patient of MS can benefit. So there is no exact disease which resembles like MS in Ayurveda. We may have Parkinson, Alzheimer, all these neurodegenerative disorder. We may find the Kampf Vata or Indriyagat Vata, Shirogat Vata, we may find same symptoms with modern science. But MS, we don't have any disease which we can exactly correlate in Ayurveda. So with the basic principle of this Ayurveda, we have to adopt a plan of proper treatment. So it is important to understand the disease pathology in order to understand Ayurveda perspective of multiple sclerosis. So we know what is myelin sheath, right? Now let's get deeper into the myelin sheath. So myelin protein through which the myelin sheath is prepared. So myelin is a protein and a fatty substance that surrounds and protects the nerve fibers. Now in the multiple sclerosis, the immune system attacks the myelin, which becomes destroyed in many area. Okay, so this loses the myelin from scar tissue called sclerosis. So this loss of myelin sheath, it is called as a sclerosis, and it will be multiple in the number. So this disease is called multiple sclerosis. So these areas are also called plaque or lesion. When the nerve are damaged in this way, they cannot conduct the electrical impulse normally to and from the brain. So this is very clear. Myelin sheath is very much important in healthy level to have the all the neuro electrical impulse traveling through normally throughout the brain and spinal cord. In MS, it won't be happen. Now, important thing here we should focus is myelin is a protein and fatty substance. This is the important principle of modern science which we can implant in Ayurveda. So the quality of myelin sheath affects how fast the signal travels through the nerve cell. The healthier the myelin sheath in the neurons, the healthier circulation of electroneural signal. If the myelin sheath is not in good health, there will be abnormal or there will be improper traveling of the signal. Now, Vyana Vayu Karma is the important aspect we should discuss here. So, Ashtanga Hridaya says there is a Vyano Hridi Avasthita Sharira Vanna Charena. So, Vyana Vayu is located in the heart, but it travels through all over the body. And we also know that Pittam Pangu Kapha Pangu Pangu Mal Dhata Vayuna Yatra Niyantri Tatra Gathati Megavata. So, Pitta and Kapha is immovable in the body. Seventh Dhatu is immovable in the body. Three waste products, stool, urine and perspiration is also immovable. So, only the Vayu is movable. And in the Vayu also, Pran, Apan, Saman, Vyan, Udan, it is the Vyan Vayu which is movable. Vyano Hridi Avasthita Sharira Vanna Charena. It is the Vayu, the one among the five Vata, Vyana Vayu, is the traveling all over the body. So we can say that neuron signal travel through nerve cell is 100% governed by the Vyana Vayu. Because if Vyana Vayu is not working properly, there will be a defect in circulation. Whether it is blood circulation or food, rasa dhatu circulation, anything, hormone circulation, same in the nervous system, nerve signal circulation. So Vyana Vayu, we have to focus here, why that I have already explained. So as discussed, majority of the myelin sheath is made up of lipid. It is a fatty substance which the myelin sheath is made up of. So this is important to decide the treatment or to have an approach that myelin is made up of lipid. Now going further deeper, nervous tissue contain about 50 to 60% of the dry weight as a lipid. So you can imagine the myelin sheath is purely a lipid substance in the body, and approximately 30 to 40% of this lipids are polyunsaturated fatty acid. So there is 6 to 7 types of lipid, and 30 to 40% of this lipid are polyunsaturated fatty acid, which is also called PUFAs. So it is rich in the phospholipid. So we know myelin sheath is a heavily fat substance or a lipid substance. Nervous tissue has 50 to 60% of their dry weight as a lipid. And this in lipid also it has the phospholipid more. And you will be surprised to know that the cow ghee has natural phospholipid in it. I repeat, cow ghee has a phospholipid in it. And those phospholipid is quantitatively as a qualitatively reduced in the myelin sheath. So simple cow ghee can change the quality of life of the multiple sclerosis patient. Okay. So when we read Shabda Kalpa Dhruma, it is a Sanskrit dictionary. So Majja means which is in the bony cavity. So we all know Majja is one among the seven dhatu, ras, rakt, mas, med, asthi, majja, shukra. We know rasa, we can say plasma, rakta is blood, mansa is muscle tissue, adipose tissue, fatty tissue, bone marrow, and reproductive this system. So, but the majja dhatu, the word majja means the thing which is inside the bony cavity. So, whatever the material which is there inside, that we can say it is a majja dhatu. So, Majja Dhatu means we all know bone marrow, that is a literal translation. But when you go to the deep language, Sanskrit language, in the Shabda Kalpa Dhruma dictionary, the word Majja means the material which is there inside the bony cavity. The brain and the spinal cord is also Majja, because it is inside the bony cavity. So the skull is containing the brain. Spinal column, this vertebral column containing the spinal cord. So, brain in the spinal cord is nothing but a form of Majja Dhatu. So, this concept is clear for us now. So, Chakrapani in his Tika also says that Mastishkam Shirostha Majja. So, Mastishkam Shirostha Majja. So in the head, the Majja Dhatu is there. Mastishka, the Mastishka is nothing but a Majja Dhatu in the located in the head. That is brain in the skull cavity, bony skull. And same the Indutika says that Medha Dhatu turns into the Mastulunga. Mastulunga is nothing but a gray matter or white matter or a whole brain we can tell as a Mastulunga. And it also modifies into the Majja. So maybe we can say after some time after a few years of birth, it is a Mastulunga, then it becomes to Majja in adult life, we may say. Because it modifies into Majja. Mastulunga getting modified into the Majja. So the Majja Dhatu's appearance is like a avilana. That's what we have the reference in the Indutika. It is uncondensed, same the lipid, in the form of Mastulunga or Mastishka. So brain and the spinal cord, it is a fatty media. It is the Majja Dhatu, as we have the reference that whatever is there inside the bony cavity is a Majja Dhatu. So brain is there in the bony skull, spinal cord is there in the vertebral column. So in the multiple sclerosis, these two structures are getting heavily damaged, brain and the spinal cord. The damage starts from the cellular level in the form of myelin sheath. Gradually, it becomes more and more worsened, so it becomes a large in size, which is visible in the MRI scan. So in Ayurveda, we must conclude this thing that multiple sclerosis is nothing but the Medha Vaha Swata Drishti or the Medha Dhatu's quality and quantitatively Medha Dhatu is getting diminished. You can also say Majja Kshaya. So demyelination in the nervous system, demyelination in the brain and spinal cord, neurodegeneration in brain and spinal cord or any other nerve, we can consider it as a Majja Kshaya. Okay. So now what will lead to the Majja Kshaya? What is the Nidana for Majja Kshaya? How the Majja Dhatu is getting depleted? So we all know that if Vayu is getting prakop, Dhatu Kshay will be there. Vayu getting aggravated, Dhatu depletion will be there. So it is due to Vata aggravation and Dhatu Kshaya and Majja Dhatu Kshaya. Due to Vata Prakop, Majja Dhatu is getting duplicated. So degeneration or demyelination starts in the nervous system. So I think it is very much clear for everyone that why we should compare the multiple sclerosis for the demyelination with some Majja Kshaya, or it has to do something with the quality of Majja Dhatu when we speak about multiple sclerosis. So this is proven that now maintaining the lipid quantitatively as well as qualitatively is the essential part for a healthy myelin sheath. Unless and until a person don't have a healthier amount of this lipid, or the then only they have good myelin sheath. So good amount of phospholipid in the brain or in the spinal cord, the good amount of the myelin sheath the person has. Now in India, we have a tradition that when a new baby born in the family, our parents and our grandparents, we feed them more and more cow ghee in the initial days of life. And we all know that neuron cell can divide it only in the few years of a life. After 4 to 5 years or 3 to 5 years, there won't be a cell division in the whole nervous system. There will be cell division in all the parts of the body except nervous system. So somehow then we have an idea that giving a more and more cow ghee to a newborn child will help them to have a healthiest quality of myelin sheath, which will help in their old age to not get a neurodegenerative or this is due to demyelination. So in India, we all know, I think, in all the states, when the new birth is there, then up to 3 to 5 years, we feed them more and more cow ghee. So cow ghee has a phospholipid in it. Myelin sheath is made up of phospholipid. Sarvada sarva bhavanam samanyam vruddhi karanam. So phospholipid getting reduced, give cow ghee, simple. Okay. So now I have taken one more to these points. Why we should focus on pranavayu or specially vayu when we need to treat the multiple sclerosis. So in Charaka Sutra Sthana, where the discussion is going on between many sages with Punarvasu Atreya, so he says that vayu has two main quality. One is anavasthit and second one is asanghat, or it is amurtaru. Anavasthit means Vayu will not be there at the same place. It is constantly changing its place. That is Vayu. I repeat, Vayu cannot be stay at one place even for a second. It will be constantly traveling throughout the body from birth to death. That is anavasthit guna of Vayu. Now the second important quality of Vayu is asangar, amurtaru. We cannot see the Vayu. We can see the pitta and kapha. We have the reference to see pitta and kapha in Vaman and Virechan. We don't have reference to see vata while living basti. Here, we have a reference to see pitta in the Vaman and Virechan, to see samyak Vaman or Virechan lakshan. We don't have any assessment criteria to see the Vayu when we give basti. So this proves that Vayu is anavasthit. It cannot stay at one place. We cannot see. So what is this thing in the body which is not stable and which we cannot see and which is also responsible for all the sensory function? Because Vayu is sarva indriyana mudyojak. This is nothing but nerve impulse. So what Acharya Charaka is talking about in Sutra Sthana 12th chapter Vata Kala Kali Yathiyaya is nothing but he is talking about nerve impulses in the body. Nerve impulses is anavasthitva. Nerve impulses is asangat or amurtaru, or we can say the nerve impulse is nothing but the vyana vayu, highly vyana vayu dominated area of the body, which is central nervous system.
Yes.
Okay. So it is very clear. It is very simple and very clear. Okay. So now the use of sneha dravya becomes essential part for the treatment of multiple sclerosis. This is what we see. We have the reference from Ayurveda as well as modern science. They say it is a lipid rich material, in that phospholipid is more. Damaging this thing help disturb the signal travel in the nervous system. So it is must to use the sneha dravya for the treatment of multiple sclerosis, and without use of sneha dravya we cannot treat multiple sclerosis. So that was about how we can see in Ayurveda and modern science, and we will take one case. So 30-year-old female patient, she was not having any family history of MS or there was no any associated disease. She came with a complaint of severe giddiness, disturbed gait and slurred speech since 4 to 5 months. So after 3 months of treatment, there was a gradual improvement in her all the symptoms. And at last, with the latest follow-up, the clinical condition is dramatically improved, and at present she is 100% asymptomatic, even though she came with complaint of disturbed gait, slurred speech and giddiness. So the treatment we have given her, she is taking medicine since 2 years, so it is a long this thing. So Mata Basti with Mahakalyana ghee mixed with Abrak Basma, Nagarjuna Abra Ras, Shiva Gulika, Ashwagandha Aule, Panchamrut Loh Gugulu, Shuddha Gugulu, Hemavati Vacha Churna, Samvardhan Ghee Matra Basti with Abrak Basma. And these were used at different stages. It's not like that 2 years we have used all this medicine daily. So now we will discuss why I choose this medicine specifically. So before treatment, we will see we have the evidence of patient lesion is getting improved in the brain and spinal cord. So before treatment, there was a lesion at C4 level and a ring enhancing lesion in the brain, which after Ayurveda treatment, the lesion at C4 level is markedly reduced and all the previously ring enhancing lesion in the brain is also reduced. This indicates the remission of the disease. So in the latest MRI, there is some new lesion also, but most important here that with Ayurveda treatment, we will succeed to have a demyelinated area to make a healthier area. So that is the most important thing. Because when we speak with a modern this doctor, they say it is it is next to impossible to generate or the damage demyelinated area to a normal one. But in this case, we have proven it. So this is the report I will. So here you can see in this area, you can see the more shiny and thick white part is there in the spinal cord at C4 level. So this is C3 vertebra. Vertebral disc C4. So here you can see before treatment. After treatment, you can see the it is becoming very near this thing. I think now you can see the thing is wide. Here you can say it is almost getting normal again. Okay, so markedly reduced C4 lesion after Ayurveda treatment. So ring enhancing lesion before Ayurveda treatment. So here you can, you have a ring enhancing lesion. This white, you have a ring enhancing lesion. Here also ring enhancing lesion is there. Here also there. Here also you can see the ring enhancing lesion. So this ring, I think it is very much visible for all. You can see the white ring in this also is there. So this is the ring enhancing lesion in the brain, tissue. It is the confirmative diagnosis for multiple sclerosis. The part of this area is damaged due to demyelination and signal is not transmitting in this area. Okay, so this is before treatment. Also same, another point angle. Here you can see one lesion. Here you can see another lesion. You can see here. Here you have. Here two you have. Here you have. Okay. So this is also before this Ayurveda treatment. Now, whatever the previous lesion were there before starting of Ayurvedic treatment, all the reduced the all the previously enhancing lesion indicating the remission of disease. So it is a clear cut evidence we have that the old lesion which was there in the spinal cord at the level of C4 vertebra and in the ring enhancing lesion in the brain, is size is getting reduced for the spinal cord lesion and the ring enhancing lesion is almost now healed. Okay. So the main weapon for all the autoimmune disease is abrupt bhasma. So Rasa Ratna Samutraya says that abrupt bhasma is prajna bodhi. So what is the meaning of prajna bodhi? It is the so in Ayurveda we have only one living quality of prajna bodhi. So it helps in the reminder of the forgotten thing. Getting. So the cell which forgot their routine action, abrupt bhasma will help the cell to remind their or to remind cells normal function. So we know in cancer and in autoimmune disease, the cell forgets its function. So in cancer, the cell forget about on which red it has to get divided. They don't have control in dividation because they forgot on which red they have to get divided. In autoimmune this disorder, they don't know which cell to kill and which cell to protect. They will kill normal cell also. So to get the memory back of this kind of cell, abrupt bhasma is the main and ultimate weapon. So autoimmune disease, abrupt bhasma is must. So we use abrupt bhasma in multiple sclerosis patient. Okay. So vata prakopa can be happen due to two major factors. So one is dhatu kshay and another one is vayu avaran. So we know Acharya Charaka has given an in-depth description about Anyonya Avaran and the Avaran of Dhatu Mal and other dosh. So Avaran of Vyana Vayu by other four types of Vayu and other dosha as well. It may cause the obstruction in the transmission of neural signal. How? So when we read the Prana Avruta Vayu Lakshan in the Charak Samhita Vata Vedic chapter, two main symptoms are given for Prana Avruta Vyana Vayu, Smruti and Balakshaya and Indriya Sunyatva. So impaired memory and the diminished strength is Smruti and Balakshaya. Indriya Sunyatva. So the, we know Manasa or Man is a Ubhay Indriya. So, man being Ubhaya Indriya, unable to do its work normally. So, this we can take it as impaired nervous system function. So, these two are the main features of MS patient. So, we can say Prana Avrut Vyana Vayu, we can take as MS patient. So, if we read the treatment of Avarana, Acharya Charaka has given this much long explanation about the treatment. He has given only this much. Use of Rasayan Dravya, Shuddha Shilajatu and Shuddha Rubhul. So we have this thing in our prescription for this patient. We use the Shilajatu, we use Rubhulu, we use Ashwagandhadi Avaleya, we can use Brahma Rasayana, Chavanprash or any Avale in the form of Rasayana we can use. through Google, which is indicated in Mastishka Roga in the Vaishesha Ratnavali, can be used as orally as well as Prathamannasya. So powder of this tablet we can make and we can give it through the nostril. So it has Shuddha Parad, Shuddha Gandhak, Rajat Basma, Abhrak Basma, Sarana Maksik, Loh Basma and Shuddha Gugulu, and Bhavana has to be given with mustard oil. So Spurgeon Ghee we have also used in this patient and we are using in many this autoimmune disorder as well as neurological disorder or where the atrophy of any organ is there. So basically it is from Kashyap Samhita and Sutrasthana and Lehana Adhyaya, first chapter from Sutrasthana of Kashyap Samhita. As we know, the Kashyap Samhita specially deals with the children. So it is indicated for the children who is having the retarded growth, or the children who have undeveloped or there is no organ, some organ is missing in the body. So with our yukti, we have to use this same gruta to regrow or to regenerate or to where the atrophy is there or where the shrunken normal tissue is getting shrunken. To get back it to the normal size, we have to use Samvardhan Gruta. So the name itself says, which do the Vardhana. Vardhana of the thing which is not grown properly. So other medicine we can use in the MS is Matra Basti, we can use with Mahasneha. It has all the four types of Sneha, Salpi, Tel, Vasa and Bhaja. We can also do classical Basti, Karma Kal, Yog Basti we can do, Matsya we can do. And of course, Suvarna preparation. Ruhatva, Chintamani, Kumar Kalyan Ras, Rasra, many we can use. And Siddha Makarga or the Suvarna Basma as a Pradhamannasya we can do. So these are the this treatment we have not adopted for this case, but I have shared this thing that we can use this treatment also in the multiple sclerosis. So only one thing we should keep in the mind, the more and more Grita preparation, whether you give Panchagavya Gruta or any Gruta which is mentioned in Unmada and Apasmara Chikitsa, Kalyana Gruta, Mahakalyana Gruta, Mahapaisachi Gruta, Mahaputra Gruta, Panchagavya, Mahapanchagavya Ghee, Brahmi Ghee, any. So the more and more cow ghee the MS patient take, the best and good quality of life MS patients will be having throughout their life. Even if Ayurvedic treatment is not possible, in India it is possible, every corner of the India, but in other parts of world or other country where the Ayurvedic treatment is not possible, but we have a patient of MS, then we should just advise the patient that at least they should eat 30 to 40 gram of desi cow ghee. This will help in the maintaining healthy level of myelin sheath, sarvada sarva bhavana samanyam vruddhi karana. So this is the very basic principle and we can take this decision easy. So thousands of years of human observation and trial and error are always greater than the 6 months of experiments in the lab on the animals. So we must respect our Samhita and Shastra. We have all the answers hidden in our Samhita. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Rajnikant sir, for a very good presentation on a very relevant topic. This also gives a lot of courage for the practitioners to take up complicated cases like multiple sclerosis and also to understand it from the Ayurveda perspective. So a comprehensive knowledge. So from Dr. Rajnikant's presentation, a comprehensive knowledge, total knowledge, and how do we see through the Ayurveda lens any disease which has been explained in the modern text, or we get diagnosed conditions at our disposal and then we need to look through the Ayurveda lens and also plan some treatment strategies, very effective treatments. And also it's all about how we understand the disease from the modern perspective, the thorough understanding, and how do we look at that particular given case with us from the Ayurveda lens. So that was beautifully detailed by Dr. Rajnikant about how do we look at multiple sclerosis. So initially the modern concepts he touched upon, and later coming to the Ayurveda aspects, how do we look at the Sneha, the Mastulunga, the Majja Dhatu, and also the Majja Kshaya. So many aspects were covered, and even in the treatment, some innovative and new concepts like the use of Samvardhana Gruta, which has been mentioned in Kashyapa Samhita, how to use that, how to logically apply any medicine, reading its palashruti and also the ingredients in some other condition which where there is no indication, that needs yukti. So I think Dr. Rajnikant also used the word yukti there. So yukti is a situational understanding of a condition and situational adaptation of a given treatment principle or a medication, maybe in some other context. So bring it and use it in some other context where it has not been specified or indicating, only totally based on the conceptual understanding of the disease, the doshas, etc. We can also see Dr. Rajnikant wisely presented the avarna aspect also, like prana, vrta, vyana, and also the vyana functions in relation to the myelin sheath and also the narus, and lot more details. So overall a comprehensive presentation and very interesting one also, along with the case study. The case study was also very important in this particular context to understand not only the disease pattern from Ayurveda lens, but what medicines were used and how logically they were used and what type of results did they give on the long run. So Panchamruta Loha Gugulu, I think Dr. Rajnikant's one of the favorite medicines, he has been mentioning that in many episodes. Abraka Basma, time and again he has mentioned about Abraka Basma also. So he has used that in this particular context, mixing with Mahakalyanaka Gruta in the context of Pasti. And Pragna Bodhi aspect of Abraka Basma, he has made it popular to us. So a lot of things to learn from this particular presentation. Let's go to a few questions after thanking Dr. Rajnikant for such a wonderful presentation. I think Lisa ji has raised her hands. Do you want to talk to Dr. Rajnikant and ask some question?
Yeah,
I think so we lost her. So we'll come back to the question box. Rajnikant sir can take these questions. Kalavati ji's question to Dr. Rajnikant sir. In modern science, it is said to use fish oil to keep the brains healthy. What is the effect of fish oil on the brains compared to cow ghee? Both are animal fats. Any talk on this, Rajnikant sir?
I think there won't be a good amount of phospholipid in the fish oil. I don't know, but just I'm assuming it. It is now your work to better do a research in the content of fish oil, what kind of fatty acid is available in that. But as per my knowledge, it is the only cow ghee which has the plenty of phospholipid in it. And myelin sheath is made up of phospholipid. Sarvada sarva bhavanam samanyam buddhi karanam. Most of the children in India eating more and more cow ghee. So I think it has something to do.
Absolutely. Ghee is an essential part of... So here, Dr. Rajnikant is not like brushing off the use of fish oil. So probably due to some ingredients and also the classical mention and also the description what is available about regarding the ghee, so that should be the best one what we use. So like take it directly from the Shastra and implement it there. So as I said, more studies are needed in that particular perspective. Cow ghee and desi ghee, what Dr. Rajnikant has been mentioning, is an integral part of the diet and also the medicine. So as far as in Bharat what we can see, so a lot of use of ghee in various contexts, and it's very popular among the food ingredients as well. So it's been mentioned among the Chaturvida Sneha. At a particular point, Dr. Rajnikant also mentioned the use of Mahasneha, where it's a combination of all the four medicated lipids. So it is Sarpi, Majja, Vasa and Taila. So this is a ghee, oil, marrow and also muscle fat. So the combination is called as Mahasneha. The snehas, when used in different ways, they are called as different by different terms. Two mixture of any two of these lipids, medicated lipids or the sneha, we call it as yamaka. So when three are used, we call it as trivrut, and for all four, when we mix it in skillful proportions, it is called as Mahasneha. So that is also said to be one of the best one. So thank you there for clarifying that, Rajnikant sir. But before taking another question, so there is like, while people are speaking about the diet and people are hyper conscious, they should be about raising bad fats in the body, maybe the lipids and also the triglycerides and other things. Suddenly people take aback like when such things happen, when the biological report shows that there are raised triglycerides and also LDLs and other things, they suddenly stop using any kind of oil or ghee or anything. They make it zero. So this is like giving away, totally taking away even a small fraction of sneha away from the diet, number one. And many people, in the context of losing the weight or also in the name of dieting, without consulting or taking any opinion from the doctor, they indiscriminately give taking all the sneha, like no, like zero fat, we call it as, no, so no oil, no ghee at all in the foods. Dr. Rajnikant, so like how good or bad is this practice, and what's your advice to those people, and how, according using the yukti as you have been using the word, how reasonably the ghrita or taila should be used as a part of the food ingredients, and why it is good or bad to totally keep away the fats like ghee and oil from our dietetic protocol or the food system itself.
It is a totally nonsense theory about cholesterol and lipid harms the body. That is first thing. Now the second thing, if we read the Vata Vyadhi Nidana, the positive factor for Vata Vyadhi, Acharya Charaka mentioned Aruksha Ahar Sevan. So having a food frequently without use of any fat media, either ghee, ghrita or taila, it is the main cause of why you vata dosha, vata vyadhi. So this is one thing is clear. Compulsory our food must have little bit of amount. If people is having fear of lipid or cholesterol level, then at least they should have little bit. But without fat media, if we are eating, then of course it is going to produce a vata vyadhi in the future. That we have a reference. Okay. Now, if Western doctors or this pharma company or whoever is saying that if the this thing, if we eat, then it is going to do a coronary artery disease and blah, 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 whatever is there, then they should do a comparative study. They should take a European Union or US or UK and find a neurodegenerative disorder in those people. Do a same study in India where people eat too much fat in their diet and show the conclusion to the world. The people who is not eating any type of fat media, they will be having more neurodegenerative disorder. You see, in India, neurodegenerative disorder is not that much, which US and UK have. US and UK are educated people, no? They are not this thing. So I think people should rethink about this. And yes, last week I did a woman for one thyroid patient, and he was a doctor. She was a doctor. So I advised her to do a lipid profile before the start of snehapana, and I advised her after 7 days of snehapana and vamana, repeat a lipid profile. So there is a less than 1% of changes in lipid profile when she consumed 750 ml of Varunadi ghee. So if we do research, more study, then a conclusion will come that it is not going to harm. But yes, only cow ghee is better. Buffalo ghee is kledkarak and kapha prakopak. So I think oil is also damaging, but cow ghee can never ever harm, even if you take 100 ml daily. That's my intent.
So unjudiciously, the people who keep away the ghee and oil from their diet, can we tell that going ahead they can be prone to some vata disorders like
100%. It is the vata vyadhi nidana, aruksha ahar sevan.
Aruksha, so that Dr. Rajnikant has been mentioning. Yeah. So aruksha, so that's very important things which we need to know here. Ati sarvatra varjayat, taking too much in enormous bulk which doesn't suit or which doesn't go compatible with our system is bad. Other than that, the portions of foods which are mentioned in the Shastra, so are very, very, very much required to our body and mind. Also, we have been discussing the use of ghee and also the sneha with respect to the mind functions as well. Vata controls so many activities in the body, and the best medicine for vata is sneha. And by not totally discluding or excluding the sneha or the ghee or the oil ingredients from the food protocol or the food system or the food practices, may definitely, not may, so it will definitely harm the vata, and so the person will be prone for more vata related disorders like the multiple sclerosis which we have been discussing today. So thank you there, Dr. Rajnikant. So I think I thought that was a very important question to take. Coming to Kalavitaji's one more question, people with the vegan lifestyle who are using coconut fat and nuts, are they getting the right quality of fat to keep vayu at distance? Vegan diet and vata.
No, it is not Sneha Dravya. It is only Salpitel Vasamadhya. These are Sneha Dravya. So, I think no.
The question was, they are using coconut fat and nuts. Are they getting the right quantity of fat?
See, in fatty, this lipid, I think, have 6 or 7 types. And among these, the phospholipid are more in this myelin sheath. So, the fat of coconut might not have the fat which myelin sheath require.
Yes.
So, I think animal fat is the, I think,
I think that makes logic. So with this question, so till what stage MS can be treated with Ayurveda? That is again the question from Kalavati ji.
See, first of all, we know that it is written in the medicine book that there is no definite prediction for the MS. So what state means, what is the ultimate state of this MS? Some MS patients lose their life for
very early.
Sometime they have relapsing this thing and they get okay with 5 to 7 days or 10 days steroid intake. But if patient is completely bedridden also, we may still make him stand up. But we have to do extensive panchakarma, maybe 30 basti twice or thrice in a year, karma basti 2 or 3 times in a year. So this may make a patient who is bedridden, he can even run. But extensive basti therapy is needed. With medicine, I think very difficult.
Yeah, so that's so true there, Dr. Rajnikant. And coming to, I think the question of Kalavati ji is, stage means like, can it be almost cured? Like, yes, I think Dr. Rajnikant also mentioned in that case presentation that the patient has become asymptomatic. So that also depends on how earlier we diagnose and take up the case and how aggressive is the treatment approach, Dr. Rajnikant?
Sorry?
Yeah, so you mentioned that the patient had become asymptomatic in your case presentation.
Yes.
That, and the patient's age also was 30. So question number one is, was the age favorable here? Question number two, were the symptoms favorable for the treatment as well? And number three, so the immunity and also the response of the patient and the medicines we make a choice, they also come into the play. Number four, the earlier diagnosis of the condition, the earlier we diagnose and the aggressive approach of treatment, what we take, all these things like have a combined effect on the healing and also giving such good results where we can make the patient asymptomatic, like in your case?
It was critical, I think we can say, because due to the severe giddiness, she was not able to walk. And if she tries to walk also, it is like she is alcoholic and doing like this. Mm-hmm. So in that condition, she came. We have started medicine. And now she is completely asymptomatic. Now, age favor, I don't think so. And one more thing. I have read this many medicine book about this MS. What they have said at majority of the place that the patient who get, once the symptoms is get, not all the patient will get symptoms. Some patient will have only lesion in the MRI. They will be living normal life. Not even a one time relapsing will be there. But once the relapse is there, even a one time, then they will have another relapse in 1.5 years maximum. So it is the just gap, this duration they have fixed. But this patient, she has passed 2 years without any relapsing this state. So, of course, you can say this is due to the Ayurvedic medicine.
Okay, thank you there, Dr. Rajnikant. So, that was wonderful results there in that case. He said it was critical and was well managed. We can see the list of medications and how the treatment protocol was built around the patient. And coming to Kalpanaji's question, is it true of for any kind of cells or just for neurons? The abrakabasma, you were mentioning the role of abrakabasma here. is it true for neurons or any kind of cells?
I already discussed that the memory of cell is impaired. In memory of cell gets impaired in two diseases. One is cancer and another one is autoimmune disease. So all the autoimmune disease, you can use abrocosma. In all the cancer, whether it is in renal system, nephron is there. In liver, hepatic, this thing is there. Brain, neurons is there. Lungs, alveoli is there. And part. So any cell which forgets their original work, abrocosma will instruct them to do their original work.
Okay, thank you there. So we have a few more questions. Keeping time into respect, you can keep the answers very short, Dr. Rajnikant. So further discussions at any time we can do. So we'll take up the questions quickly and you have a quick answer to them. Vinayaji asks, what about patient who has more ama to use ghee? Wouldn't it damage them?
Of course, you should not give to this too much snehdraya when there is an ama, because it is clay and it is having gaurota. Ghee is also having this clay type thing and gaurota. So first we must do ampachana with dipani or pachani dravya or musta or something like that. And of course, when ama is there, in short, no ghee when ama is there.
Well, thank you there. And Kalpanaji's question, can Samvardhana Grita be used in pregnancy if they find out if there is no growth of certain organs of the baby?
It is actually indicated for that. We can even use in the when there is a no heartbeat is developed or there is a organ is not getting developed in the time frame. So it is the main thing. Yes, we can.
Thank you. So, Mr. Carey, Ayurveda, Yoga and Thai style. So, there is a question. Is this similar to the treatment of ankylosing spondylitis? Maybe the question is, can similar treatment be given to ankylosing spondylitis?
No, the role of Kapha Prakopa is there, will be there in spondylitis. Hmm. Because stiffness will be there, stabdhata will be there. So, I think along with Vata, we need to focus on Kapha as well.
The line of management will be...
ankylosis and cervical spondylitis and all these things.
The line of treatment will be different. And Swapnaji, so inspirational in episodic vision loss. You mentioned that steroids help. What can we do through Ayurveda to regain the vision, number one? What works as steroids in Ayurveda? Difficult question again. So with appreciation. Two questions there. So in episodic vision loss, what can we do through Ayurveda to regain the vision? What works as steroids in Ayurveda?
Of course, if a case come to me in relapsing stage that he or she lost vision due to MS, I will admit those patients and I will give a pasti with all the this shotagna dravya, anti-inflammatory this thing. And of course, there is a palash mool arka is there. We can use for eye drop. And panchamrut no bubulu and this suvarna bhasma as a pradhamanasya will work, I think, more better than the steroid use. I haven't got patient in that state, but I would love to treat those patients. And of course, we can get the results.
Thank you there for the frank answer, Dr. Rajnikant, as usual. And Swapnaji, I never liked the ghee smell since my childhood, have nausea. So with the smell of ghee, would there be any cause? My son also has the same aversion to ghee. So asking, trying hard to make it satmya for both of us. So what's the middle way, pathway to do? So since both have aversion to ghee and its smell.
I think daily you should eat. Let you both vomit for 10 to 15 days. Then I think from 16th day, you won't vomit.
Okay, so nice.
So like this nice happens question. When we continue ask them yet later, after a few days they start holding it. So
yes, maybe you should keep on trying. That's the reply from Dr. Rajnikant on a lighter note, Swapnaji. And one more thing is, Ayurveda advises anything you practice, it should be in a krama, so like ascending way, slowly things should be practiced. And even when you are detaching something from your diet also, it should be given away in portions, small portions. At a time, you should not give away. So like you should make, even we advise this in alcoholic de-addiction, smoking de-addiction and other programs. So whenever you want to practice something, it should be step ladder. Whenever you are giving away something, it should be step ladder, slow descent, portion by portion, and at last try to give it away. So that's the practice what you can do here. And coming to, we have a couple more questions. Vinayaji, for people living in US, we get to make our own ghee. We are not sure if the ghee is of good quality. How can we suggest that 1 gram ghee for them? Would Amul butter made ghee be good and considered as desi ghee? Interesting question.
In US, you are there means Amul is, I think you can trust. I think there will be Indian store. I think we should buy from, not pure you will get, but you will get best in the market.
Okay, thank you. So, but alternatively, can the ghee made out of Amul butter, can it be given to the patient? So that's the question.
I think no. So we don't know what is there. Okay. Better have cow ghee and cow milk and make a curd and then churn butter milk like this, butter and you make ghee, that will be the patient.
And then can be given. Thank you, sir. Dr. Sidram Bulat sir is in this session. So I think sir has also presented on our platform. Thank you for being here and giving compliments, sir. So wonderful to have you here. I can see Dr. Shivalila ji also in this platform. She has also presented in our Gurukula platform. So last week we celebrated the 50th episode, and these doctors and good teachers have contributed immensely to our platform. Sorry for not mentioning the names which I couldn't see here. And Sidram sir, asked wonderful session, sir. Can you please mention what kind of vasti be preferred and for how long in MS? I think
so Dr. Suggest karma vasti for 30 days if the patient is having very mild symptoms, once in a year or maybe once in 2 years. If very mild or remitting and relapsing, this thing is very less. More symptoms, patient is bedridden or severe, we can give 2 karma vasti in a year or maybe 3 also. In karma vasti anuvasan, we can use samardhan gruta, mahasneha, kalyana gruta or any other sneha druya, which is mentioned in Himada and Apasmar chikitsa or Vata Vyadi chikitsa. So better I advise ghee over the tela. In milu basti, makshakam lavanam, sneham kalpam, makshik lavan, you can choose by yourself ratio. Sneha again, samardhan, mahakalyana, mahasneha. Or patient is non-vegetarian, we can say matcha also, asti, this other asti matcha. It is available for at some shop, they can get it. And for kwatha, we can use dhanadhanyadi kwath, chandanadi kashaya, we can use in the nirubhasti. Chandanadi kashaya is indicated for mastu lunga kshaya in Vaishajaratnavali. So I think this can be the ideal choice for vasti.
Thank you, Dr. Rajnikant. Thanks, Sidram sir, for that question. And Jay Raghuji, very educational presentation. Thanks for sharing your practical knowledge. Thanks, Jay Raghuji. What levels of triglycerides, HDL, LDL, is still okay in blood levels as per Ayurveda?
Okay. See, these are the technology. Before 10 years, they were not having some lipid. Now they have another lipid. In 2030, they will find another lipid and they will say, oh, this is very bad. Then 2035, they will find another thing in the blood. So I think we should not that much focus on what technology says.
Yes. So within limitations, we can tell Dr. Rajnikant. And one more thing, Ayurveda also has given Pramana Sharira. So like the quantity of which tissue, which dhatu, which organ should be there in which proportion and how many numbers. So we have Anjali Pramana, we have Anguli Pramana, a lot of... So according to that Ayurveda standards, so whatever has been mentioned, let's try to strike the balance with that. And Anna Sulajji, great presentation. Thanks a lot for elaborating this topic on MS. Pradnyaji, thank you so much for such a wonderful presentation. I think we come to the end of the questions. I think we have covered all the questions from the Q box there. Thanks to everyone for posting these questions and also for posting your compliments coming into Dr. Rajnikant's way. So sorry if I couldn't read your compliments as well. So on behalf of all of us, all the participants and also team Isa Ayurveda, so let me take the privilege of once again thanking Dr. Rajnikant sir for coming here, for presenting such a wonderful topic. Every time he comes and presents, it will be a totally different topic, different perspective of the treatment, and also touches on some rare things which we take back home. So after his session, so that's the part and parcel of the genuine practice, and also he shares his knowledge immensely. Thanks to Dr. Rajnikant on behalf of all of us. Thank you, sir, for such a wonderful presentation. Thank you. And on behalf of Team EZ Ayurveda, so I'd like to thank all our participants, the wonderful participants I've been mentioning time and again, for being here, for making these sessions very, very interesting. So with your participation, with your presence, and with your questions, and the sessions wouldn't be so interesting, informative, and learning without your presence. A big thanks to all of you. So coming ahead on this Sunday will be the Guru Bodha session, as usual, with Dr. Guru Raja sir, Dr. Hebbar sir, and of course myself will be there in that particular session. And the next Wednesday, so we will meet once again, the 52nd episode of Easy Ayurveda Gurukula, with yet another resource speaker, with yet another new topic. And we'll all assemble here for sharing the knowledge of Ayurveda in the perspective and in direction of a new topic. Until we meet the next time, next Wednesday, thanks, loads of love, and namaste to all of you from Easy Ayurveda. Namaste.